Returning from the region of Tyre, Jesus went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee. In the region of the Decapolis, they brought to him a man who was deaf and who had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This piece of the Gospel is really good for a bunch of different reasons. The people who came to see him that day and begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man with the ailments means or describes a scene where there were a lot of people. A crowd was there, it says, with the strong possibility that this particular man and his ailments might be missed. They needed their friend to be healed because they cared a lot about his well-being. They loved him and chose to bring him to Jesus so that he may be healed. Jesus took this man aside, away from that crowd, in private. Perhaps the crowd was pressing in on him, which we've heard in other moments of the Gospel. And perhaps he needed just an extra room to concentrate, to focus on this man, or to make this encounter particularly meaningful. The way he heals this man takes the very clear shape of a sacrament as we would recognize one now. We may be curious or cringe about the idea of Jesus spitting on his fingers and then touching this man's tongue. But from what I've learned, this type of healing technique would have been normal at that time. The healing power of one's saliva. We can see kind of an echo of this when someone's mother might lick their thumb and scrub a kid's face. But the sacramental character of the healing itself involves both Jesus' action of touching the afflicted and the place that needed healing, but also his words, where he says, "Be opened." All sacraments are real encounters with Jesus Christ through word and action or matter. Our first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, which describes the coming of God, a saving visit where eyes and ears and tongues will be freed and opened. Where God is and what God touches experiences the goodness and the saving power of God. This particular passage from Isaiah is a messianic prophecy describing the wonders that will help identify when the Messiah had arrived. When the Messiah arrives, you will know him by these occurrences, these events. But when these things are being performed by Jesus, earmarking his identity as Messiah, in the Gospel of Mark, he repeatedly tells the people not to tell, not to blab. Don't share this with the others. But what happens instead? All of the people who witnessed those acts of healing and those wonderful deeds of the Lord, blab, all over the place. So everyone comes to know. Jesus asked these people to stay quiet because of the timing of his ministry and the timing of the proper time of his passion. And this seems only to make sense that Jesus would want to safeguard his identity for a time until that time was right for his passion to begin, for his arrest and the short trip to the cross. Who of us would tell everything there is to know about ourselves when meeting a new person or out on a first date? We naturally save some details and stories for later. This gospel account plays an important role in the broader ritual of the sacrament of baptism, the steps that Jesus takes to heal this man. After the baptism itself, there is a ritual prayer over the ears and mouth of the one baptized, a ritual that we use even today. While touching each ear, the priest will speak these words: "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the mute speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father." And the priest, during that prayer, reaches out and touches the ears of the little one being baptized or having been baptized, and also their mouth. And this is a direct reference to the gospel and Christ's healing power and his ability and his desire to open hearts and eyes and mouths to the glory and praise of God. It is the same with us. God desires to open our hearts and eyes and mouths as well. And he does so beginning with baptism, through that action and through the prayer of desire that this little child will grow to hear God's word and speak it when they're ready. During his miracles, Jesus always used some sort of sign, an act, a word, a prayer, a proclamation. Not because they were necessary, because God can do anything in any way. But Jesus chose to act and to minister in these ways because there is power in that human interaction. Because it also shows that it was Jesus accomplishing or performing these acts, so there would be no mystery around it. He spoke the words. He commanded. He gave instruction. He touched. He made mud. He placed spittle. All of these examples of moments when Jesus reached out to those in need gives us and those standing around them at that time evidence that it was Jesus who accomplished these good things. It teaches us that it is Jesus, God, healing his people. And it becomes more difficult then to explain these phenomena in a different way. Oh, it must have been this or that or another thing. It couldn't have been miraculous. It couldn't have been God working. Of course not. Jesus, in a certain way, Jesus performed these miracles in such a way so that we may be able to more easily come to believe and understand, to recognize who he is and what he is capable of doing and what he desires for us. And that is why, as we celebrate sacraments, even today in the church, there will be words, there will be actions, there may be touching or physical contact in some way, anointing, for example. There will be a very obvious interaction that is both human and sacred. And it is Jesus who is working through those moments, speaking through those moments in a way as close as possible to those accounts, those moments that he shared with people while he was on earth. As we encounter Jesus Christ once more in this sacrament, the Eucharist, let us pray that our ears and our mouths have been opened or will be opened through this encounter in order that we may receive him fully in a way that is ready to receive him with sufficient understanding and in a way that we may receive our Lord through the means that he offers to us ever anew. So that each time we approach him through the sacraments, it will be a new, living, real, and powerful experience of God's love for us. Let this be our prayer for the celebration of this Eucharist, that this encounter with Jesus Christ will be an eye and ear and heart opening occasion, so that as we present ourselves to him, he will be free to come to be with us.